not a demon, are you?
It was licking me!
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
No.
I feel like saying more, but I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 8 of the Planet of Terror podcast. I am your host, Cortez the Killer. Wait, what? Needle scratch. Wait, what's going on here? What are you talking about? Yes, listeners, I am back from the grave, as it were. So back in 2005, I ran a little humble horror blog called Planet of Terror. And then I think I started this podcast up around 2010 or so. Didn't get into very many episodes, but I did interview quite a few great indie filmmakers, horror filmmakers specifically. But life happened a couple kids later, and I've decided to kick things up again. You know, I just miss talking about horror films. Blogs are kind of dead. I know the world needs no more podcasts, but hey, what are you gonna do? But again, like, I love talking about horror films. I hope to also cover like just some sci-fi, action, and B movies, just random stuff I'm watching, because I'm also a fan of those types of films. But this will definitely lean heavily on the horror side of things. So thanks for checking me out again. Hope I'm able to provide some interesting and entertaining content. I'm not quite sure exactly like how I'll go about covering things, but I mean, I could talk about just random things I'm watching, whether that's streaming, renting new films, diving into my pretty extensive collection of physical media for life. So we'll kind of see where things go, see where things take us, and maybe I can get some of my old cohorts in the horror blogosphere on here from time to time and maybe do some interviews and chatting and whatnot. So I thought I'd kick things off by talking about a UK distribution company that I've become a huge fan of over the last year, and that is Second Sight Films. Again, a distribution company based out of the UK. They're doing just a fantastic job, and just in terms of the quality of their releases, the transfers, the artwork, the special bonus features that are on their discs, very much in the vein of Arrow, another UK distribution company. Very unique artwork that accompanies their releases of films. Their latest release is the release of the 1971 film The House That Dripped Blood, an Amicus film production release. They have done another fantastic job here with this release, just in terms of the quality of the transfer, the sound, and then a huge fan of the artwork. So if the film itself, Amicus was a production company based out of the UK in the 60s and 70s. A lot of people get their films confused with Hammer Film Productions, another UK production studio going on around the same time and releasing films. And rightfully so, because they shared a lot of the same actors, most notably the great Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. But the different thing with Amicus Films, their films were more or less set in the present day, whereas Hammer Film Productions and their films were very much period piece horror films, gothic horror films in that vein. So The House That Dripped Blood, 1971, a really, really fun flick. It's a horror anthology and one of my favorites. There's four different segments, and basically the wraparound or the theme, if you will, is this house that's cursed. Anyone that rents the house, anyone that lives in the house, comes under its spell, and it makes them do crazy things. Four segments. I think they're all pretty good quality. You know, in a lot of horror anthology films, you might have one or two little stinkers, but, you know, you just brave through it for 10 to 15 minutes, and then you got another segment coming up. But they're all pretty good. Probably my favorite is the closing segment about an aging horror actor. It's his first day on set portraying Dracula. And the set quality is not quite up to snuff for him, nor is the cloak that the costume department came up with for him to wear. So as he storms off set, he stops into a curio shop on the way home and asks the curio shop owner, hey, what you got? I need something that's going to stand out, something that's going to be worthy of my on-screen performance. And so the curio shop owner basically goes back into his vault, pulls out a box, and then upon sight, the actor falls in love with the cloak. The funny thing about the cloak, so he takes it home, immediately puts it on, and then anyone who actually wears the cloak actually is imbued with the powers of a vampire. Yes, so he does not need to get bitten by a vampire. All he has to do is wear the cloak, and he's got fangs, a thirst for blood, he can fly in the air. It's really silly, but it's a lot of fun. A really great segment. So check out Second Sight Films. They announced earlier in the year that they're going to do a new transfer and release of George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. But I haven't seen them post anything about it in a while, so there's nothing out there you can go and actually do a pre-order for as of yet. But I will definitely keep my peepers peeled and let you guys know when that thing is up, because as we all know, we could use a new Blu-ray transfer of George Romero's amazing, fantastic, genre-defining film. I'm still holding on to my DVD set. I forgot what it's called. The Anchor Bay released it, I believe, in mid to late 90s, maybe. So that's the last version that I have. So Second Sight, they also released a fantastic version of When a Stranger Calls. The fantastic Carol Kane film and horror thriller. Definitely check that out. Great artwork there and really great transfer on that one as well. It's just really incredible, like, over the last, probably 10, 15 years, like, all these little boutique kind of distribution companies that have just done phenomenal work. Your Scream Factory, Vinegar Syndrome, Arrow, and now Second Sight, Kino Lorber, just doing incredible stuff with their genre releases. I swear to God, I'm going to have to get a second mortgage at some point, because every time I turn my head around, like, it's just another incredible release of one of my favorite films is coming out. Second Sight, check it out. The other thing I wanted to touch on, thought was kind of interesting. Shudder, the great online streaming platform, of genre films. If you call yourself a genre fan, and you have not subscribed to Shudder yet, what are you doing? It's only $5 a month. I know. There's just so many streaming services nowadays. It's like hard to, like, you know, on top of my normal cable bill, I got to pay for another streaming service, but I highly recommend it. It's a fantastically curated site. You will find stuff that is just not available anywhere else. A lot of original content, a lot of exclusive content, so like a lot of independent horror films that are premiering on the streaming service. And then, of course, the return of the great Joe Bob Briggs. If you don't know who he is, look him up, check out some of his YouTube clips. Monster Vision was a constant watch for me in the 90s. I had a lot of friends' sleepovers, and it's just really great to see him back again. And, they've just done a really great job, and bringing his show, his unique personality back to life. Darcy the male girl as his sidekick, and comedic relief. And, you know, it's just he's back, and he's sharper than ever. His wit, his musings on different types of films and the films that he's covering. I just feel like a kid all over again every time I watch it. But so Shudder just released a whole bunch of brand new stuff on the streaming service on August the 1st. Most notably, the first six films in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, which is pretty cool. I don't think it had been available on any streaming platform or service before this. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But it's been really great to see the social media reaction there, and a lot of people going back and revisiting a lot of those films. I myself have checked out a couple movies that I hadn't seen in a while. The first one being one of my favorite horror film sequels of all time, and that is Part 3, The Dream Warriors. So revisiting it like this past week, one of the things that like kind of struck me about it is just really how inventive the dream sequences were. And just in the series itself, right? I mean, there are things that you see in the series that you don't see in other horror film franchises, either whether we're talking about the 80s, 90s, up through today. Just really inventive stuff in terms of the dream sequences. The visuals are very, very unique. I will go on record as saying from a visual standpoint, they were doing some really cool stuff that wasn't being done in any of the other slasher film franchises at the time. But it is still fun as all get out. You know, you have the kids in the institution, and they're all kind of building the courage to face off with Freddy. And, you know, they all have like their personas they've come up with. And I'm not going to rehash the plot because it's a classic, and hopefully you guys have all seen the film before. But I just remarked at like just how cool a lot of the dream sequences were. And I think it's probably the highlight of the franchise for me. But the one that I was surprised by, so I followed that one up with Part 4, The Dream Master, and also kind of remarked at the same thing. The dream sequences are really well done there as well. I think like probably the second best in the series in terms of just how inventive they were. The most notable example being the Roach Motel sequence, still really, really holds up very well, and it's kind of icky and gross. But a ton of fun and very, very well done. So I'm going to probably go through the rest of them now. I'm kind of on it, but I don't know. I got to kind of work up my courage to get through The Dream Child, because I was not a fan of that one, and I have not been a fan of that that particular installment in the series. But it's been about probably a good 15 years since I've seen it, so who knows? Maybe I might react to it a little bit differently. But I really want to check out Freddy's Dead. I haven't seen that one in a long time as well. When I do go back and revisit the Nightmare series, it's always either Part 1, Part 3, or Part 4 for me. So it'll be interesting to see, like, with some time away, do my opinion change at all, or do I still think that the Dream Child is a stinker? I think Freddy's Dead was okay, but you can kind of tell, like, the series at that point was on its last leg, and I obviously wanted that to be like Freddy's curtain call, but that didn't quite work out, as we all know. The other cool film that was released on Shudder is the fantastic 80s cheese fest that is Chopping Mall. So if you have not seen Chopping Mall, I highly recommend it. A really, really goofy film. From what I understand, let's see, the filmmaker, Jim Wynorski, is working on a sequel, but I haven't seen anything posted about that one in a while, so I'm not quite sure where that stands. But if you haven't seen Chopping Mall, just a brief synopsis for you. There's a group of mall employees that that basically hang out after they've closed all of their respective stores, and they want to party and hang out and have a good time. And the mall is premiering a line of basically robo security guards. And they basically patrol around the mall, look out for shoplifters, and kind of keep the peace and make sure, you know, nobody's doing any shady stuff. But it's like you could tell from the word go, I'm like, all right, this thing's not going to end well whatsoever. So, of course, at night, electrical storm comes through, short circuits the mainframe system that keeps these things online and in check, and they go freaking haywire, and it becomes just a gruesome gore fest from there on out. Just a really, really fun flick, as only 80s horror films can be, starring the great Kelly Maroney, Barbara, of course, the always, never aging, always gorgeous Barbara Crampton. Check it out. It's a ton of fun if you've never seen it before. But I highly, highly, highly recommend getting on Shudder. Like I said, I know it's another streaming platform. I hope they consolidate things, because it's kind of driving me bonkers. I can't keep track anymore, and like just so many stupid logins required. But it's like, it's $5 a month, totally worth it. Shudder's just done an incredible job just curating the content and finding really interesting stuff, and then premiering it via the platform. It's not just horror films also. Like, I've been really impressed with their offerings of sci-fi, action, Hong Kong cinema films, just a lot of good stuff there. And, like, I mean, you could spend, God, I mean, between that and, like, Netflix and Apple TV and all the films on there, it's really hard to keep up. But it's definitely worth your while. Check it out. And that would be Shudder. So I think I'm just going to keep this episode pretty brief. Again, kind of like, you know, getting back into the swing of things with this podcast. Again, not 100% sure where I'm going to go with this, but I hope you have fun with it. I hope you find some new stuff that you've never checked out before, gain some insights into films that I love, and I hope you love too. And then who knows? Yeah, maybe we'll have some like random guests every now and then. So I'm gonna keep this one short, keep this one simple, keep it brief. But this is Cortez the Killer signing off from the Planet of Terror podcast, episode number 8, Back from the Dead, baby.